This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I have an episode where I was actually interviewed by Katie Oliveira. She is on Collegehood Advice Podcast, and I'd highly recommend that you connect with her. You can do that on Instagram and at her podcast, and which I will link in the show notes below. So definitely check her out. We talk a lot about academic probation and what that's like and what you can do to get off academic probation. I'd also recommend this episode, even if you're not on academic probation, because I do think that it can help you really think critically about how you are approaching your academics at your college. So go ahead and check it out. Let me know what you think about it, and I will catch you in the next one.
Welcome to Collegehood Advice. I'm Katie Oliveira. I spend my days helping students figure out what they want to do with their life and then coaching them to strategically use their college experience to make it happen. Each week, my guests and I are here to share those insights, stories, and strategies to help you develop the skills, mindset, and support system you need to thrive during college. But before we jump into today's episode, a quick word from this week's sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the free Collegehood Advice Resource Library. That's right, I did say free. The Collegehood Advice Resource Library is the place to start building the habits, skills, and behaviors you need to succeed during college. Once you join, you'll have access to themed playlists of the Collegehood Advice podcast, guides, workshops, and my favorite tools to help you earn great grades, manage your time, get organized, reduce stress, and find a major that matches you, and much more. You can join for free at collegehoodadvice.com/freebies. That's collegehoodadvice.com/freebies. And parents, I don't want to leave you out, so I've created a shiny new monthly update full of curated resources, tools, and advice to help you as you support your student through the college experience. You can sign up for our new monthly update for parents at collegehoodadvice.com/parents. And if you're a student listening, be sure to share that information with your parent today. That's collegehoodadvice.com/parents. I hope to see you over in the free resource library. Okay, now on to this week's episode. Hello, everyone. Katie here. Today, Alicia Sepulveda is on the show to share her wise insights and practical strategies to help you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and come back strong after landing on academic probation. Alicia is a first-generation graduate from a small town in Central Florida. She went to Florida State University, where she earned her bachelor's degree in family and child sciences and a master's degree in social work. She has coached hundreds of college students across the country to not only graduate, but find purpose and meaning in their college life. She is currently working at the University of Colorado Boulder as an academic coach, where she works with students on academic probation and is the host of the College Life podcast. And if you haven't had a chance already, I'm actually over on the College Life podcast talking about the importance of choosing a major and career path that aligns with you. So if you want to check that out, you can go and subscribe to the College Life podcast anywhere that you get your podcasts. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Alicia, welcome to Collegehood Advice. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I would love for you to start by sharing with my listeners how you help students.
Sure. So I want to say at the basic level, I help students improve their GPA. So ideally that they can stay on campus. And I also work with students who just want to improve their GPA. And maybe they're not even in a deficit where they feel like they have a super low GPA. So I worked with a student recently who had a 3.8 GPA. but they didn't feel like they had the strategies or the tools to really be a successful student. So I would say at the basic level, that's what I do currently. But on a deeper level, I talk about a lot more. And when students struggle academically, a lot of times there are different factors that are kind of playing into this. And I think one of the ones is definitely motivation. I hear this constantly. I think it's also about creating and sustaining habits. And then I also help students really through the change process to really help them figure out where they're at and where they want to be, and then help them take those small steps in between to become the person that they want to be while they're in college.
Of course, I'm incredibly biased, but I love the work you do because it's really similar to my work.
Yes, exactly, which is why we connected.
Exactly. Well, you know, I worked in the same field as you for 15 years. My heart and soul was to supporting students and increasing their GPA before I founded Collegehood and started to help students figure out their life and then use their college experience to make it happen. And so I have a very special place in my heart for students who are looking to improve their academic performance. And so I'm super excited to have you on the show to talk about how to bounce back after having a dip in your GPA, whether it's just not where you want it to be or if it's in a place that's putting you in jeopardy of staying at your institution, like academic probation. And so, you know, I have a really soft spot for this topic.
Yes, it's such important work.
So I guess let's kind of jump into the meat of the matter, which is this episode is how to bounce back after being on academic probation. And I'd like to extend that, like I said a minute ago, to anyone who's looking to improve their GPA, because I think that the strategies we're going to talk about can be extended in that way. But I think before we jump into the how, let's talk a little bit about the what. So what is academic probation?
Yeah, that is such a great question. And it might actually be called something different at your institution, but I would say majority of them are called academic probation. And this is when your GPA usually dips down below a 2.0. Most students will have one semester to get that GPA above that 2.0, or they will get suspended from the institution. So even at my university, we actually have an alert, an academic alert, and then we have an academic probation. So they technically can have two semesters, but it's very dependent on each institution. And I would just argue that most institutions have academic probation that's below a 2.0.
That's been my experience, too. Mm-hmm. Most of the institutions I know in Texas anyway, and I know that state by state, it's a little bit different. But anything below a 2.0 is going to put you on academic probation. So what does that mean when an institution puts you on academic probation because your GPA has fallen below a 2.0? What does that kind of mean for a particular student?
So typically they'll get a letter or an email notifying them. And it's really just a flag, I think. It's like a, hey, we're kind of concerned about you. You're not doing as well as we would like. And what happens is if you continue to go down a path where you're not doing well consistently over time, it gets really, really challenging to get to a 2.0 before you graduate. So for example, if you get a 1.8 in the fall, and then in the spring you were to get a 1.7, and then in the fall you get a 1.5, it's going to be very challenging to get your GPA above a 2.0. It will take you probably two more semesters of really great grades in order to get your GPA up. The institution just really wants you as the student to kind of know, like, hey, you really need to kind of focus on your academics this semester. And I think really get some support. So a lot of times in that email, whenever you're notified about this, there are resources that the institution or your college will link in that email. Things like tutoring, things like academic coaching, potentially connecting with your academic advisor to make sure that you're setting your schedule up. So really, it's just a, hey, we want to make sure that you know that you only have one semester and this is serious, and that we want to make sure that you are able to stay if you want to.
So I know from my experience, I've seen a wide array of students land on academic probations at varying levels of their college experience. I think most students, from my experience and from the research I've done, and correct me if I'm wrong from your perspective, tend to have this experience in the early part of their college mm-hmm. experience. Is that your experience?
I think that that's probably in the data, I think that that's really accurate. It's interesting. I actually worked in the fall with students who are not in the first year. They were sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Even. And that was really surprising to me. I didn't realize how many students who are seniors are actually on academic probation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that it's actually across the board, but it is more likely in their freshman year because it's a big transition.
Yeah, so that's interesting to me. I'd like to know, what are the leading reasons that you see students ending up on academic probation? Let's compare notes a bit.
Yeah, so I've actually noticed three different types of students in my work. So I'll say the first group of students are the students who have worked their butt off. And I see a lot of this in the like biologies, the chemistries. They're students who have worked so hard, they're studying so much, but they still didn't do well. And they're kind of like, what is going on? And they start questioning everything. So they're questioning, you know, am I smart enough to be in college? So not only am I smart enough, but should I just be in college in general? Should I be in this major? Like, what am I doing wrong? Whenever I see, you know, my friend down the hall who goes out and does what they want, never studies or hardly ever studies, and they're doing really well. That student is really, really frustrated because they feel like they have tried a lot of different things and it hasn't really worked. And so I think that there's like two different things that I see for that. And that's that with one student, it could be actually they just do need to learn how to study because they never have learned how to study before. And in high school, we don't really teach you how to study. And I think a lot of us come from high schools. I know that I came from a high school who didn't really prepare me for college. So I had to really learn kind of on the spot how to study. And I would argue like it took me a really long time to actually learn how to learn in college. It was a very different experience. So I see those students, and I see the other students who completely just like check out. They're like, okay, well, this major is not a good fit for me, so I'm going to change my major. And those students, it's interesting because I think some of those students actually could just use a little bit more support in how they're studying, and they probably could still excel in that major. But then they feel like they can't because they think that they've tried everything when in reality they likely have not. And so they just feel like, well, I guess I can't be a doctor. I guess I'll just do, you know, psychology instead. And they kind of are bummed about that. And I think that's like a really frustrating experience for me as a coach to see that with a student, because I really want them to see that, hey, maybe it is just changing a few things and you're still able to go towards the goal that you have versus, I guess I'm just going to change my major. So that's kind of that first student is really that student who works their butt off and it's just not working. So the second leading reason is the student who really just has life happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of my students just, oh my gosh, like mental health, family members passing away, you know, divorce. Like my parents got a divorce when I went to college, and it was a different experience because you start thinking about the money and should I stay? And there's so much that you're thinking about, and it's not usually about classes. Mm-hmm. So life just happens. And students don't even realize what resources are on campus or how to even navigate that. And it makes sense. They shouldn't have to know how necessarily. And we don't necessarily, I think as an institution or as institutions across the country, I don't think we do the best job at helping students really see the value in the resources on campus. So that's kind of the second reason that I see students end up on probation is just life happening. And then I would say the third leading reason, and in those students that I work with, this is probably the most common, is that they are disconnected. And they're disconnected for two different reasons. And I think the first one is that they're not really going to college for them. Mm-hmm. They're going to college for somebody else. And with that kind of student, it's, you know, I talk a lot about why are you in college? And does it make sense for you to be in college? Because, you know, you're spending so much money on this degree and you're not even really wanting one. And you could be, you know, spending a lot of your time investing in yourself and investing in doing something that you actually want to do. So I think they're just disconnected from that whole college experience. They're really just doing it because they feel like it's the next step. Mm-hmm. And then the other disconnected student that I see is that they're completely disconnected from what they want to do. They feel disconnected in the classroom. They don't feel like their major makes sense. They don't really see how their major or even a degree will help them get the job that they want. They don't know what they're working towards. And I think the underlying piece for both of those types of students who are disconnected is really that lack of motivation. And I think lack of purpose too. So I would say those are the three leading reasons. So studying a ton, but it just didn't go right. So maybe being in the wrong major, or maybe just not really having the skills quite yet, life happening, and then just feeling disconnected from college, from learning, from your purpose.
Oh, absolutely. That's my experience as well. I don't disagree with you. I think that if I had to, you know, most of my career has been spent coaching students who are on academic probation and supporting them to raise their GPA and get in good standing at the institution. And I would agree. Those are the three categories I would also place every student I've worked with in, and talking to other professionals for sure.
So when students come into my office and they're on academic probation, it's a really interesting experience because, again, they'll have two different reactions. The one is, you know, head down, like, you know, I messed up. And, you know, honestly, I didn't go to class, or this happened, you know, in my life. And I just don't even know, you know, what to do now, or, you know, why I'm in college. And then you'll have the other student who is making a lot of excuses. Mm. And that's a pretty fun conversation too. And they're like, oh, well, my professor, you know, gave me a really bad grade. But it was like all of their professors gave them a bad grade if they're in this situation, you know. So it's just a really interesting group of students. And I love it so much.
I always say professors don't give you grades. Professors calculate your grade.
I know.
I'm just saying, I'm in the process of calculating grades, not giving them.
Right, right.
So I think probably a lot of my listeners are, and I hope this is the case, are seeing themselves in some of these descriptions. And so I think one of the big takeaways for this episode is that we don't want you to feel hopeless, that there are lots of steps and things you can do to bounce back, recover, and pivot. Because I think sometimes bouncing back and recovering assumes that you're going to just head in the same trajectory. And sometimes the right answer is to pivot. And so I want to leave that as an option. So let's kind of unpack those. When you are working, students come into your office, what are some of the things that you work with them on to help them to recover from this experience?
For me, the first thing that I do is really get to know them, because a lot of times nobody really on campus has gotten to know them in that way. So I really just start by asking them kind of what are their goals and dreams. And I think that starts to give me an indication of the clarity and what they're working towards. So sometimes whenever they start with that conversation, you know, I see them kind of light up and they're like, yeah, this is really what I want to do. And, you know, I messed up last semester, or I didn't do what I needed to do. They're just super energized and excited, and they feel a lot more motivated this semester. And then there's kind of that other side where they kind of do feel lost and disconnected, and they feel like, you know, they can't move forward. And so I hope that I actually do offer them hope. And that's something that I try to work on, is to really build up their confidence and their skills and their capabilities, because I would actually argue 99% of the time that when I work with a student who's on academic probation, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. They're amazing humans, and they don't realize it yet, or they don't see it because they don't feel like their GPA is a reflection of who they are. And that's the number one thing that I say whenever I start talking to them. I kind of explain what coaching is, and I say, I want to let you know that I don't believe that a GPA is a reflection of who you are. So it's just a number. That's it, you know, mm-hmm. And I want to help you move forward in this. And if you really want to stay here, I want to help you stay here and thrive. And I know that you're really big on thriving too. Like that's what we want for our students. And I just try to set the stage for that so that they know that I'm on their side and that I don't think that they are dumb or lazy. And I think that those are some misconceptions about students on academic probation. That's usually not the case.
Oh my gosh, you're really hitting the nail on the head. Just in my own experience, and I think this is really important to think about, you guys, and I'm going to take a little side. I'm going to go on a little tangent here.
Perfect.
In alignment with this idea of putting your head down in shame, and when you are presenting yourself to the resources on your campus, presenting and assuming that that person sitting across from you at the table is judging you. Because of course, yes, you are going to encounter folks on campus who maybe aren't the best at this, and maybe they are judging you, and you have to drop them and find somebody who will support you. I'm thinking about this even in my own experience. So today I was teaching my courses, and I had a particular student come up after class who is not faring so well in my class, and we're approaching the end of the semester at the time of this recording. It's May. So today was the last day of class, and I have final next week. I had a paper just due. And he came with his head held low and presented with a bunch of walls to kind of protect himself from my judgment. He was very, very afraid that I was judging him because he had performed poorly in my class, that I was judging him because he had had a litany of absences, that I was judging him because he hadn't performed well on his exams or turned in assignments late. And the truth is that I have found, by and large, most professors don't really give that much time to judging you, that they've had enough experience, and staff too, and the support staff on the campus to help you, they've had enough experience with students that, by and large, when they see those behaviors in a student, it's a red flag to them that something else is probably happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And they're usually positioned to want to communicate with you and help you. And that usually it's that you're not willing to kind of be honest and transparent and seek the help. Now, as a caveat, there are outliers. There are some professors who are not positioned that way, and I absolutely recognize that. But I think it's really important to find and seek out those people on campus who are like me and Alicia, and they're on every campus, who see you for who you are and not what's happening to you or the behaviors or decisions that you've made in this particular moment, and who understand and who are there to help you build the skills you need to be successful during the experience.
Yes. Yes. And that, but that takes, it's so hard, right? Because you already feel like you've messed up so bad, and you're disappointing yourself. You're disappointing your parents or family, if they're paying, you know, paying for you to go to college, or they're sacrificing something. I mean, there are so many factors under that.
So when you're trying to assess how to kind of get the bottom, if I'm a student and I've had this experience, I maybe didn't do so well this semester and I'm looking to improve my GPA, where are some places I might start to try to repair my performance?
So I think where I typically start is I'll ask students to rate themselves on a few different areas. And I try to do some surface level goals because I'm just getting to know the student, and I really am asking them to share their story. And some students are very open about their story and willing to share. And I love that because we just kind of get real honest really quick. And to me, that also shows a lot of self-awareness. So I think as a student, the more honest that you can be with yourself about where you're at and then what happened last semester is huge. That's definitely the jumping off point for me. So I will usually start that conversation and asking them, you know, tell me a little bit more about what happened. So if you are a student, and even if you, you know, not, are not in academic probation, but you just didn't do as well as you had hoped, just really reflect on last semester. You know, what did you do really well that worked? What are the things that you know you have to do better next semester? What are the tools or the strategies or the skills that you feel really strong in? And then where do you feel like you probably should improve? And then figuring out how to go and navigate from there. So the few areas that I typically work on are time management and organization and planning, procrastination. They're all different things, but they all intersect. And so I always tell students, this is kind of the basics. You've got to have a strategy. And I had a student this semester, and I laughed so hard because it was so funny. I was like, okay, do you have a planner? How do you keep track of everything? You know, all of your responsibilities. And he was like, no, I just kind of remember. And it's like, okay, you know, how does that work for you? And it just wasn't working. So we started talking a little bit more, and I said, okay, what would it look like, you know, if you actually wrote down all the rest of your assignments for the rest of the semester, you know, your assignments, your test grades, everything. And he was like, people actually do that? And I just died laughing because, and not like at him. It was such a funny thing. And he was like, I know. And it was just like a funny thing. So
You know, I experience that all the time. I have that conversation all the time with students, and I know it's really common. And here's what I'm going to say about that, and I want you to chime in too. Here's what I always tell students. Why are y'all making your brains work so hard? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, as you get older, your brain, and I'm going to sound like an old lady complaining, but your brain is not going to be able to keep up with those, what are like non-specific tasks, right? They're the kind of things you need to do, but they don't really, they're not like an event that are sort of looming over you and you have to keep up with them. And they create sort of a dull, constant pressure on your existence. And if you can take those things out of your mind and let a calendar do the work for you of carrying the burden of those tasks, you are going to free up so much brain space to do other things.
Yes, I completely agree. And I always tell students that time management is a skill that you're going to use no matter what you end up doing long term. So whether you start your own business, whether you end up writing a book, whether you end up working at a nonprofit, whether you end up working for a financial company or working in education, that is the number one thing that you have to have. It's a non-negotiable, and you have to start working on it now, because it's not something that you just learn how to do over like one day. So I think getting in that habit now, and I will share with my calendar, I'll say, you know, I have a project due in 2 weeks for work, and it's a pretty big project. Do you think I'm going to wait until the night before to do it? Nope, I'm definitely not going to, because I wouldn't be able to put forth my best work if I did that. So I always try to connect it with their long-term goals too. Like, this isn't just something that I think is going to help you get an A in a class or pass, you know, this class. It's actually going to serve you in the long run. And I mean, I think too, with time management, a lot of times we don't realize what our day actually looks like. And so it just really helps you get a clear picture of what is actually happening in your day to day. I think one other thing that I wanted to mention too, just about kind of like writing down everything, is that if you don't do that now, if you start missing things, if you miss, you know, somebody's birthday and you want to keep track of that, if you miss an assignment, if you miss a discussion post, don't write it off as like, I can drop my lowest one, so it's fine. That's actually a red flag. And again, it's not like a bad red flag. It's just like a, hey, you might need to change something. And then if you miss another thing, it's like, okay, you have to change something. And so I think that's like what I tell students, because I try to trust my students too. Like, you are, you know, the owner of your life. You know yourself best. But mm-hmm. I would argue there are very, very, very few people out there who cannot write this stuff down mm-hmm. and keep track of it.
And, you know, you could at some point, but I think as your life gets more complicated and you move forward, it becomes more and more challenging to do so. And mm-hmm. I agree with you. The very first thing when I have a student come to me who's on academic probation or is looking to improve their GPA, the very first thing I have them do is tell me where their time is going. You know, The very first thing I ask is, do you know yet what you would like to do with your life? The second thing I ask them is, do you know where your time is going? Because I think that you're right in that there is often a disconnection between how we spend our time and how we perceive we are spending our time.
Yes, completely agree.
Yeah. And that oftentimes when you really start to pay attention and track and observe it, you may find that your time allotment is not in alignment with your priorities.
Yeah. And a lot of times we just think the way that things are set up are just the way that it is. So I had a student who struggled with parking and trying to find parking on campus. I actually have had multiple students have this issue. And so then they park off campus and then they have to change where they park in between classes. And so they're running back and forth. And I'm like, that's at least 45 minutes that you could be spending studying.
Oh my
goodness. Instead, you're stressed out because you're worried you might get a ticket. It was just insane. And so whenever possible, it's like those little things, just, you know, try to brainstorm, try to talk to people like, hey, where do you park? Hey, what are you doing? And doing some simple problem solving. Sometimes we just think that, again, it just is. And usually we can manipulate some situations and change some different things. So
yeah, absolutely. So what do you recommend as far as on a campus, especially, I know that this is kind of, you're centered on a campus working with students. What are some really important resources or support systems that you ask your students to enlist to help them when they are in the process of recovering from a bad semester?
Yeah, I think I'm going to just maybe highlight three. Well, so the first one I think before you do anything, I think it's having a growth mindset. So a lot of times students will come in and they'll tell me, I'm a bad test taker. Okay, so you might be a bad test taker right now, but that doesn't mean that you can't improve how you study and how you prepare and how you actually take your tests. And there's different strategies that we can talk about and improve to help you get there and help you become a better test taker. So I think going in with a growth mindset, being willing to challenge yourself and get outside of your comfort zone is number one. And then I think from there, the number one resource on campus that you actually need is your professor. And so I know you're going to love that answer, but your professor is the one who is going to be grading your papers. The professor is the one who creates the tests. The professor is the one who knows what resources to access if you do need extra support, if they can't offer that enough for you. So I think a lot of students that I work with have never talked to a professor one-on-one before, and they're nervous and anxious, and there's some reason for that too. And I just like to say, you know, anytime you're going to meet a professor, it's like meeting somebody new. And sometimes you go into a relationship and it's amazing and you meet somebody and you just instantly connect. I feel like that was, you know, me and you, Katie. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was so easy to connect with you, and it was just such a fun conversation. But then, you know, sometimes you'll connect with one other person and it's like, okay, it feels a little bit more forced. It feels maybe a little bit awkward, and that's just kind of part of life, you know, but we still have to reach out to each other and we still have to connect. So I think starting there with your professors is huge. So building that relationship with them, you know, as soon as possible is ideal. And then seeing them on a regular basis, if possible too. So I think your professor is the number one. And then I would say it really depends on the resources that you have on campus. But a couple things that are just basic is your academic advisor. Like, you have to make sure that you're taking the right classes. If you're not doing well, really talking with somebody and talking about why you didn't do well can be really helpful. So if you don't have an academic coach on your campus, maybe an academic advisor, because most institutions will have some sort of academic advising on your campus. And I think connecting with them and making sure that you have a really strong schedule that makes sense for you. So if you were on academic probation or just didn't do as well, instead of taking 18 credit hours the next semester, why don't you take 12? And let's really focus on your classes and really build the skills that you need to be successful in college.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I have a couple of resources for you guys, too. There's episode number 52. We talk about one word to boost your confidence in this idea of shifting from a fixed to a growth mindset. Mm. And it's by just thinking about, like you said, that power of, like, I'm not good at taking tests yet. Yes. Adding that one little word, yes, is so transformative, because, like, who told you you're not good at taking tests? Somebody in your history told you that story. It doesn't mean the story is true. Mm-hmm. You know, and professors, yes, some professors are grumpy and grizzly and hard to talk to, but there are some things you can do to start to build bridge and relationship with professors before you're in trouble. I find in my experiences as a professor, you know, 90% of students come talk to me when they're in trouble, when it's too late, mm-hmm, like the gentleman today. But, you know, only 10% actually come and talk to me about the course content in a delighted way. And those students are really learning and thriving and connecting with me. And I'm going to write them a reference because I can see what they're getting out of the class. It doesn't mean that they're the only ones getting something from the class. They're just the only ones who know that it's okay and have permission to talk to a professor like a person. And like people, you're going to have, like you were saying, Alicia, you're going to have some you connect with and you're going to have some that you think are the worst. But you know, it's not because all professors are the worst. It's because they're people and they're multidimensional and varied, just like anybody else you're going to run into.
Exactly.
Well, I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. And if we've talked a little bit about mindset, a little bit about strategy, and a little bit about resources, is there anything else that you want to add to this conversation about how to bounce back from academic probation?
I think I'll just kind of like summarize a little bit, but I think if this happens to you or even a friend, just take it as a learning experience. It is not going to be the end of the world, and just take ownership of the situation. Really reflect on what happened and be honest with yourself about where you're at, and then get the support that you need. And if you're not sure even what you need, asking for help, talking to a friend, talking to somebody on campus, whether it be a faculty, an academic advisor, an academic coach, somebody on campus that you just connected with randomly, just ask for help.
Absolutely. And I think asking for help is like one of the top superpowers of people who are successful in general, but definitely during the college experience.
Yes. And I want to say too, you know, you don't have to be struggling, quote unquote, to ask for help. I think that's something that I see a lot too. Students will wait, like just like you said with the professors. In life, we do the same thing. One of my students actually shared this analogy with me, so I'll share it. Like, you can't expect to go to the gym all day on Friday because you have a pool party on Saturday. You can't expect to go and just spend 12 hours straight on the elliptical and expect to have the body that you want the next day. It doesn't work like that. It takes time. It takes like change. You just have to really invest the time in to becoming the person that you want to be. And I think this directly relates to academics. If you really want to get great grades, then you just have to be honest with yourself. And if you want to get more out of your experience, you just have to be honest with yourself about what you feel like you want and need, and then going out and getting that.
Oh, amen. My hands are in the air over here. How can my listeners connect with you and your amazing podcast?
Sure. So I think the best way to connect with me is probably on Instagram at The College Life Coach. And then I do have a podcast, and I would love for you to check it out. It's called The College Life Podcast, and it's available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google.
Alicia, thank you so much for coming on College Hood Advice. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Of course. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to the show and listening all the way to the end. If you need them, you can find all the links and resources we mentioned over in the show notes at collegeheadadvice.com/podcast. If you really enjoyed today's show, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. If you're a big fan, we'd love to hear about it. You can share your love by leaving a quick rating or review over on Apple Podcasts. And of course, we would love if you would share the show with a friend. The more, the merrier. I'll be back next week. But until then, remember, you have the power to create a better college experience. You've just got to get out there and take your first step.